All right, we'll move on then to our last case. It is 13-1426, City of Cincinnati School District Board of Education versus Joseph W. Testa, Tax Commissioner of Ohio, and the Hamilton County Auditor and the City of Cincinnati. Mr. Hoying?
Thank you, Your Honor. Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court, my name is Daniel Hoying. I'm the Assistant General Counsel of Cincinnati City School District. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes of my time for rebuttal. The school district's sole purpose for participating in this case is and has been to challenge the constitutionality of a new tax exemption enacted by the General Assembly in 2011 that applies to the convention center owned by the City of Cincinnati. The tax commissioner and the Board of Tax Appeals declined to allow the school district to participate in this case because the school district did not file a statement of its intent to participate in 2006, 5 years before the statute was enacted. And if this case had been decided according to the law that was in effect in 2006, CPS concedes it would not have had a right to participate in the case. But here, the new tax exemption enacted in 2011 and applying retroactively to cases pending before the Tax Commission or on appeal to the Board of Tax Appeals, Court of Appeals, or even this court, we think changes the analysis. Indeed, the 2011 exemption was the sole basis for the tax commissioner's final determination to grant the city's application for an exemption for tax years 2006 and forward. The school district respectfully submits that the decision of the tax commissioner and the BTA to refuse to allow the school district to participate in 2011 for the limited purpose of challenging the constitutionality of this new tax exemption was unreasonable and unlawful and should be reversed.
Council, before you get into the details of that argument, can you explain, is there another action that's pending that relates specifically to the constitutional challenge?
The convention center is comprised of an original 16 parcels. The parcel that's at issue in this case was acquired by the city in 2002. It's a separate parcel. The original parcels were previously tax exempt under RC 5709.08, which applies to public property that's used exclusively for public purposes. And so the city, when it started using a contractor, that's what the tax commissioner said took it out of that exemption. It said you're no longer using this property exclusively for public purposes. That was the reason the General Assembly enacted a new statute in 2011.
I think maybe I ask it inartfully, but is there another challenge currently pending to the legislation itself? Is there a declaratory judgment?
Oh, I'm
action?
Sorry. Yes, yeah, there is also thought. On the effective date of the statute, CPS took every conceivable step it could to challenge the constitutionality. We filed a declaratory judgment action in the Franklin County Court of Common Pleas. The tax commissioner and city moved to dismiss that case, arguing that this proceeding under 5715.27 was our exclusive opportunity to raise a constitutional objection to a tax exemption statute.
And what's the current status of that action?
Judge Fry stayed the case, reasoning that we had a right to proceed, that the declaratory judgment action should not be dismissed, but that this was a better forum and a more efficient forum, particularly given the expertise of the tax commissioner and the BTA and the efficiency with which it would reach this court for review of the constitutional issues. He stayed that case and said that if we are frozen out from participating in this case, we can revive the declaratory judgment action.
Well, the expertise of the tax commissioner and the BTA on constitutional issues?
I think at least in framing or receiving evidence about the constitutional issues, of course, the tax commissioner and BTA cannot rule on constitutional challenges.
So why isn't the Franklin County action the better place to test what you want to test?
Well, we argued that the case should go forward, but Judge Fry determined, and I think reasonably, that...
Why wouldn't you want the outcome of this case to be you lose because the appropriate place for you to be is where you are in Franklin County?
I believe this is an appropriate forum for CPS to challenge the constitutionality of this tax exemption. This is the tax exemption application that is applying this exemption is in this case. Indeed, the city raised in the declaratory judgment action that the court doesn't have the authority to enjoin a final determination of the tax commissioner. And so, you know, while they were arguing that it was unripe, that the case wasn't ripe at that time, we fear if we go back to the declaratory judgment action, they'll now argue that the case is moot because the tax commissioner has issued a final determination affirmed by the BTA and perhaps even affirmed by this court. We think this is a perfectly appropriate.
But didn't you just say the BTA could not reach the constitutional issue?
The BTA by law cannot rule on constitutional
right.
issues.
So
excuse me.
So what makes we can, but they. I just don't follow your logic as to why.
Sure.
You want to be in this case and not in the place that you normally go to raise those issues.
Again, we filed both. In this case, the tax commissioner and the BTA cannot reach the constitutional issues, but they are enabled to receive evidence for the court then for a direct appeal to the Supreme Court. And that's a routine way of challenging the constitutionality of tax exemptions.
All right, getting back to the facts here. In 2006, the city filed an application to exempt this property, correct?
Correct.
And in 2011, the legislation answered that question, and then their application was allowed to proceed, correct?
The tax commissioner first made a final determination that the city wasn't entitled to an exemption under the law at that time. And then, yes, the General Assembly reversed that decision by statute.
Okay. You did not participate in the 2006 application to exempt the property, correct?
Correct.
Why not?
To be honest, I'm not sure the school district knew the exemption application had been filed. We were not at that time receiving notices of exemption applications. This is not a process that the school district routinely participates in. We have the opportunity to, but have been content to allow the Department of Taxation and the county auditor to rule on whether or not exemptions.
What would have happened in 2006 is that application to exempt the property would have been granted. What would you have done as the Cincinnati School District?
We would have no opportunity to appeal that. That would have been.
You would have had to live with it.
Yes. And still today, if the city of Cincinnati said, we're not going to rely on this new law, we are basing our appeal solely on the law that was in existence in 2006, CPS concedes it would not be able to participate in the case because it didn't.
So you're saying only because of the new law you think the door is reopened for your participation?
I think absolutely, particularly when that law applies retroactively to tax years 06, 07, 08, and on. If the city is allowed to rely on that law, that retroactive law, to support its application for a tax exemption in 06, we think the school district also should be entitled to join the action to participate in the case, at least in this case, for the limited purpose of challenging the constitutionality of that exemption.
Today, would you receive a notice?
If there was
an application?
Yes,
why?
We are receiving notices.
Why?
We applied at the time. We had not done this before. We had not participated in tax exemption proceedings, and so we weren't receiving notices at the time.
But the process was in place for the city to have received and been a player in 2006 with the application to exempt that property back then.
The school district, yes.
The school district.
The school district, the process was in place. CPS was not at that time receiving the notices.
Because you chose not to.
Correct. It's not a process that we actively participate in.
So you never challenged the exemption of any properties back in 2006 or there around?
Since 2005, I've been at the school district, and we have not. This is the only case where we've participated in exemption proceedings. And that doesn't mean that the city is automatically, or any other taxpayer, is automatically entitled to an exemption. They still have to go through the process of the Department of Taxation looking at whether
absolutely.
Right.
Nobody's saying that they automatically get it because nobody's opposing it. Of
Correct.
Course not. But your role here is what we're trying to figure out, whether or not the school district is properly engaged in this process now.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, our role has, we had taken a passive role and would have continued to do so in this case, we would not be arguing that we had the opportunity. We're not arguing here that we have the opportunity to challenge the merits of the city's application according to the law in 2006. But I do think it's reasonable that school districts have an expectation that the application be decided according to that law and not according to a law that's passed 5 years later, which is a legislative fix to reverse the decision of the tax commissioner. That's the point where we felt we had a need to jump in, and we did so in the Court of Common Pleas. We filed a deck action.
Right, which is, I'm, you know, thinking that there's merit to having the Court of Common Pleas address this and have all of the, you know, processes and players at the table for the declaratory judgment action.
And if you read Judge Frye's opinion, it's in the record at Supplement 196, page 196. What he says is he disagrees. He thinks it's more sensible, particularly when the city and tax commissioner were arguing that this administrative process was our exclusive opportunity to challenge the constitutionality of the statute. That's the argument they were making to try to have the case dismissed. And so Judge Frye said no, that the case will not be dismissed. But I agree that this is a more sensible place for us to make our challenges. I think most cases that come up through the courts where tax statutes are invalidated because they're unconstitutional, most of the cases that are relied on in these briefs are on appeal in a proceeding under RC 5715.27, which is what this is.
What about the notice of appeal here? Were you specific in setting forth your constitutional claims?
We have been specific from the beginning that is our sole purpose in challenging this statute.
What did you specifically say in your notice of appeal?
The notice of appeal, and again, this the statute, what we were required to do is put the court on notice of the order appealed from and the errors complained of, is what the statute says. Here we stated in the assignments of error number 2 and 3 that the BTA decision and order denying the BOE's request for intervention for the limited purpose of establishing a record to challenge the constitutionality of this statute ignores the fact that the statute being challenged was enacted years. So we are specifically referencing that we want to challenge the constitutionality of the statute.
But you don't say specifically what constitutional provisions you're complaining about.
Personally, I think it's implied by the errors, the assignments of error, but I don't think anyone, the appellees, are not disputing that the assignments of error, the notice of appeal, was appropriate, an appropriate appeal of the tax commission, the BTA's decision. And so the real question, I think, is whether or not the court should remand the case back to the BTA for the creation of a record, whether that would assist the court in analyzing the constitutional issues. And we don't think that's necessary because, one, these are primarily legal challenges, facial challenges. Specifically, the single purpose challenge is based entirely on the facial analysis of the statute. Retroactivity challenge also is, the statute facially states that it applies to pending cases.
Do the terms single purpose and retroactivity appear in the notice of appeal?
They appeared in our notice of appeal to the BTA. They do not appear in the assignments of error. No, they don't. The city and tax commissioner certainly were on notice that is what we were challenging. That's the challenge we raised in the Court of Common Pleas. It's the challenge we raised in the BTA. The notice of appeal does what we think a notice of appeal is supposed to do, which is identify the order appealed from it. And the error of the BTA in this case was not its decision on the constitutional issues. The BTA doesn't decide the constitutional issues. So we think really that question, the assignments of error, the notice of appeal, is certainly appropriate to appeal the decision that the BTA issued in this case. Whether or not the court should reach our constitutional questions, we think they should, that you should, but that's up to you. Just briefly on our constitutional issues, the retroactivity challenge, this court uses a two-part analysis, whether or not the General Assembly intended the statute to be retroactive. Here, the statute applies to pending cases, we think on its face is retroactive, and also whether or not the statute affects substantive rights. Here, this court in Struble v. Davis and Perk v. City of Euclid held that tax exemptions cannot apply retroactively.
Let's assume that we find that we're jurisdictionally barred from considering the constitutional claims under the statute that says you must be specific. What tack do you take then?
Sure. We would ask the court to remand the case to the BTA for the creation of a record. That's what we were asking the BTA to do on the constitutional issues to the extent that's necessary, and then the case would return on appeal. The BTA is not authorized to rule on the constitutionality, so we do think that's an extra step, but that's what you would do, is remand the case back to the BTA for consideration.
But why wouldn't that then just be part of the declaratory judgment in Franklin County? Why would we not, if they're for the development of a record?
I mean, Judge Fry said in his opinion he is staying the case until all proceedings on the 5715.27 application are complete. Again, our fear, that's fine, and we won't return to Judge Fry in Franklin County, I guess, until this is complete. Our biggest concern, I think, is that it creates procedural issues for the court. If the tax commissioner has issued a final determination that the city's entitled to an exemption, it's been affirmed by the BTA and affirmed by this court. I think that procedurally puts the Court of Common Pleas in a difficult place. The city cited a statute, it's not cited in the briefs here, but in the Court of Common Pleas, RC 5703.38, which says, in short, no injunction shall issue from the courts suspending or staying any order or direction of the Department of Taxation. We think there's, we expect there to be kind of a complicated legal procedural status or procedural posture if this case returns to the Court of Common Pleas.
So we're precluded. There won't be a stay on the tax, the tax case. If we rule against you, doesn't that take care of the Franklin County case?
Well, we would ask the Franklin County court to then revive that action and say and rule on. It was a declaratory judgment action alleging that the statute is unconstitutional. Now, I think the court could declare the statute unconstitutional. It could be appealed up to this court. I think what's complicated is how that ruling would ultimately affect the city's now 8-year-old tax application initially filed in 2006. It's just complicated to figure out how that will, how a ruling from this court that the statute is unconstitutional could relate back to this tax application.
What we have to decide for you is your right to participate.
Correct.
That's the only thing that we have to decide today. Is that not true?
Our right to participate. We are also asking you to rule on the constitutional issues. We would ask you to rule that CPS had a right to participate, that the statute is unconstitutional, and we would ask you to direct the case back to the BTA with direction not to apply in this 2006 application the amendments to the statute, the new tax exemption for the convention center. I see my time's expired. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Fossey, you're taking 9 minutes.
Chief Justice, and may it please the court, Dan Fossey here on behalf of Joseph Testa, Tax Commissioner of Ohio. Sharing time today with the City of Cincinnati, so I'll endeavor to go for 9 minutes and reserve 6 minutes for Mr. Broyer. I'd like to start by addressing the series of questions asked by the Chief Justice about the statutory methods, how the Board of Education should have proceeded in this case, because I think there's some question. It seemed like when the Board of Education's counsel started out with the idea that the tax commissioner didn't allow them to proceed just because they hadn't filed a statement of intent to participate in 2006. Actually goes back way further than that. So the General Assembly in 1985 gave boards of education for the first time the right to participate in applications for exemption. What we just heard today was they have never taken the steps to avail themselves of that right.
But then in this particular case, based on this facts, they didn't participate in 2006, and their participation really wasn't necessary because the application was denied. So they didn't lose anything here. In fact, they were beneficiaries of the decision through no efforts of their own.
That's correct. And the trouble with that, though, is for the Board of Education to say, well, we didn't have to participate because we knew that it was going to come out this way. I don't think anything in the law is ever settled
in that way. I don't think they're saying that. They're not saying that. They're saying they just didn't participate as a matter of policy or practice within the Cincinnati Public Schools. But be that as it may, the 2006 application for exemption was put before the board. It was denied. Okay?
Yes.
And then that is eliminated at this point. That's not a live case any longer. You agree with that?
So the city originally applied, and the tax commissioner denied that application.
Right.
The city then appealed to the Board of Tax Appeals.
Right.
While that appeal was pending, we remanded the application back to the tax commissioner, who then granted the application under the new statute.
Okay, the new statute intervened. So this is from 2000. I mean, it's before. Like 2007 to 2000 through 11, was it September of 2011? The statute is changed. Then you ask for the remand and let's apply this new statute because it was a case pending.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
It's an application pending, and the.
But you would agree that if there was no pending case and the 2006 application was over and done with, the creation of the 2011 statutory change would have no effect on the 2006 application?
Absolutely not. The time to appeal would have run 5 years earlier. And that's sort of the point here. The Board of Education finds itself basically in exactly the same place that it would have been without the law change. They never took the steps necessary to participate. They never even requested notice of applications in their district, which is the first step. And never mind sending the request to participate in a given application. And so, again, in this case, the tax commissioner never received requests for the City of Cincinnati's Board of Education to participate. And this is in contrast to other major cities around the state that have been doing it for years.
Was there a duty on their part to request, or was there a duty on the part of the tax commissioner to notify the school board on the remand?
That's a great question. So that's 571527B. Says that the Board of Education must first ask before they get any notice of applications. So they, in other words, they won't get those notice of applications filed in their district until they've requested it.
And because there was no request, your view is it's waived?
It waived in the sense that the General Assembly has created school boards and has given them limited powers. And in this case, when they don't act within those powers, they're outside of the authority to act, as well as the tax commissioner is outside of his authority to consider their involvement in the proceedings at this time.
Is there a duty on the tax commissioner to notify school boards?
If they've requested.
Only upon their request.
Yes.
And in this case, because there's no request, there's no corresponding duty of the tax commissioner.
Exactly. And that's the first threshold. That's the first step for participation in these proceedings. So
what do we do then with the notion of an unconstitutional retroactive application of a statute when a party has not participated pursuant to the statute you referenced?
Your Honor, so the Board of Education could have pursued that if it had taken the proper steps.
Well, isn't it doing that with the declaratory action filed in the Franklin County Common Pleas Court?
It's attempting to do that, Your Honor. And
all right.
Of course, we're opposing their
purportedly
attempt.
It's done it.
Yes.
Counsel, could you clarify? I just want to make sure if this is all one case or separate cases. You said in 2006, the application is denied. And I understand in 2011, there's the statute that allows for the granting of the application. Is this all one case? Was the case pending all this time? The same case?
Absolutely, Your Honor. It's the same case, the same application that was filed in 2006, was appealed to the Board of Tax Appeals, and just, I'm sorry, so in 2006, wasn't decided by the tax commissioner until, I believe, 2010, and then was appealed in 2011 to the Board of Tax Appeals. Same case, and when it went back down on remand by agreement of the parties, Still the same case. Okay.
And there was no opportunity on the remand under any authority for the school district to then suddenly become a participant on the remand?
No, not according to the statutes. And frankly, a remand is no different than if the BTA had affirmed or done anything else. The tax commissioner has to then carry those instructions out on that particular application. So it's not a new case. It's not a new event. They've asked for exemption.
So is this really even a question of retroactivity of a statute? To me, it's like any other case that we have. When it's pending and the law changes, there's an obligation to apply the new statute to a case that has not been decided and is actively pending, and that changes the dynamics of how those decision makers have to look at that case.
Your Honor, and we believe if you'll look at the Gulf refining case that's cited in our briefs, this court instructed the BTA to apply a statute in a similar situation while the case was pending. Additionally, there may be no issue of retroactivity at all because this is really a shuffling of funds among political subdivisions of the state. So this isn't this is an allocation decision made by the General Assembly, and because those monies are in the process of being distributed, there is no retroactivity problem.
Is the constitutional issue before us, in your view?
Not at all, Your Honor.
Today, is it before us?
No, Your Honor. This may seem harsh, but the fact is, this court, its jurisdiction over Board of Tax Appeals decisions is limited by the Constitution to revisory jurisdiction provided by statute. This court has looked at the statute, in this case it's 5717-04, and said that statute requires that you point out the errors in the decision below. And when you haven't done that, when your notice of appeal is so general that it could be raised in any case, so in other words, these statutes are unconstitutional, you haven't specified error sufficient for this court to act.
So is there an opportunity for the school board to raise that retroactive argument if it chooses to do so?
In this court, no.
Okay. So it can do it in the Franklin County court, or it's purporting to do it there?
We are opposing their ability to do so in that court, but in any case, they've lost the ability to do it in this court at this time. Now, it happens all the time, and we saw with cases like Cleveland Gear and MCI that are cited in our brief, parties know that this is the way things happen. You raise your argument at the tax commissioner knowing that he's not going to rule on them, and put in your evidence at the BTA knowing that the BTA is not going to rule on it because this court will decide it. And that's a right to appeal, and that's an important right. So, and we take that very seriously. For the tax commissioner, as a statewide tax administrator, to have this court be able to settle constitutional questions is very important. And that's the process. That's the process that the General Assembly has set out. The Board of Education just simply was asleep at the switch on this one.
Thank you.
If there are no further questions, I'll hand over to my colleague, John Boyer. Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel, you've got about 5 minutes.
Thank you. Madam Chief Justice, and may it please the court, the school district in this case was asleep at the switch for 26 years, beginning in 1985. Before that time, the legislature had made no provision for school districts to participate in or oppose or appeal from tax exemption applications. This limited mandatory statutory opportunity came and passed in 2006 when the city filed their exemption application. Now, it's interesting to consider that if these challenge provisions had been enacted in 2006, the school district still wouldn't have gotten notice of the exemption application and still wouldn't and could not have made themselves a party because they neglected to take the simple predicate step of asking the tax commissioner to notify them of the exemption applications filed in their district. And that wasn't a problem that arose in 2006, that it was, as we heard, longstanding policy dating back to 1985. And this does make sense. Before 1985 and continuing today, county auditors are the public officials vested with the right to protect the public fisc of the county and participate in these applications, and they have a statutory right to appeal under 5717.02 and under 0.04 to this court. And again, that makes sense. We wouldn't I think the court would not entertain any possibility that the zoo could come in or the library could come in 5 years after an application is filed and interpose themselves in this case, nor the MRDD board or Adam H. Rather, it's the county auditor who looks out for the public bodies. The legislature in 1985 granted a very limited 3-month window for school districts to participate in these kinds of applications, and having made themselves a party with that predicate step, they would then enjoy the right to appeal first to the BTA and then to this court. And one other item I think procedurally is useful to know. The tax commissioner, when he first considered the 2006 exemption application, granted exemption for the 05 and 06 tax years, and it was only in 07 that the tax commissioner denied the application. That was because at that time the city entered into a contract with a company that manages the facility, and that drove the tax commissioner's decision. That change in facts wasn't something that I think any party, including the school district, could have anticipated. That's why you take the first step of throwing your hat in the ring and becoming a party to the case. So we know that facts can change. So too, the application of law can change. The tax commissioner's decision was based on the proposition that a private contract for the management of the convention center deprived it of exemption beginning in 07. Well, the tax commissioner reached a similar decision in the golf course cases, which are now pending before this court. And so the school district can't have sat back and said, well, we were certain and confident and could repose on the proposition that this exemption application would be denied. At best, that's an open question for them, and it's to be decided by this court. And indeed, the facts of the convention center case may not squarely align with the facts of the golf course cases. That's all to say that laws and facts can change during an application's pendency, and to protect yourself and to protect your district, you comply with the statute and make yourself a party.
So, Mr. Broglie,
was the Hamilton County auditor an actual participant in all of this?
By statute, he was a party. He has not taken an active role in the case.
So there was no one there to actually present an alternative view, are you saying?
He has not exercised his statutory right to appeal the tax commissioner's decision applying the new statutes to the Board of Tax Appeals.
There was no one, no party whatsoever to present an alternative view.
The county auditor had a statutory right to assert that, but did not do so. And I can't answer.
So there wasn't?
Yes, the answer to your question is yes.
But still, there was an initial ruling against the application.
The initial ruling, Chief Justice O'Connor, was to grant as to 05 and 06 and deny for 07 forward because the city had entered into a contract with a private company to help manage the facility. That decision then was appealed by the city to the Board of Tax Appeals. During that pending appeal, the new statutes were passed. The tax commissioner and the city agreed to remand the case to the tax commissioner, who then issued a decision granting under the new statute.
Under the new statute for what application years?
Beginning with 06.
Beginning with 06. But that was already granted on the lower level.
It had been granted, and then the decision was appealed up to the Board of Tax Appeals. So,
By whom?
By the city.
Okay.
And during this time, the parallel golf course cases were also going through, and that logic underlying the tax commissioner's decision, at least, was reversed by the Board of Tax
Appeals. I just want to make sure that, you know, what's being represented here, and based on our information, and that the 06 application for exemption was alive in the process of the appellate structure when the statute was passed in September of 11, and then remanded for application.
Yes, Your Honor, and that goes precisely to the Gulf refining case.
Okay. Thank you.
Question, Mr. Yes. Broler, is, if I understood your argument, it is the auditor that is the statutory party with the right to challenge.
Yes.
And had the school board filed an application, it also would have the right to challenge.
Yes, a timely application back in 06.
What other parties could file an application beyond the school board?
It would just be the school board and the auditor. The other taxing authorities in the county don't enjoy that right.
Okay, so only the school board is given that statutory authorization to apply.
Correct. The school board has to take the step of first requesting notice, and then they file a statement making themselves a party. In contrast, the auditor has a statutory right. He doesn't have to request that notice, throw
Thank
his
you.
Hat in the ring.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Hoyne, you've used all your time. You may take 30 seconds.
Sure, and I'll pick it up where you left off. You asked about whether the case was active
Yes.
in 2011. It had to be active because the new statute applied to pending cases, all tax years at issue in pending cases.
Okay, and so...
And so it's up on appeal in the BTA. The new statute is passed. The tax commissioner and the city say, let's send it back to the tax commissioner for consideration of this new statute. And that's the point that the school district jumped in. We weren't asking, obviously, to relitigate the merits of the initial application. That had been denied. We were asking to participate, again, for that limited purpose of providing an alternative.
But there's no statutory authority for that.
And that's...
For your entry at that juncture in this... sequence of appeals from the initial application all the way through the appellate process and then the remand. Beyond your initial statutory ability based on the change in the law in 1985, that was your first juncture and your only juncture to become part of this.
We disagree. The statute itself, the authorizing statute 5715.27 at subsection D expressly gives authority to the tax commissioner to extend the time within which the school district can move to participate. And at a minimum, we think it was unreasonable or an abuse of discretion for the tax commissioner not to allow the school district in at that point, not to exercise that discretion.
In 2011.
In 2011 when the statute was passed, exactly.
Okay.
To provide an alternative view and to allow us to present a record to argue the statute was unconstitutional.
Thank you.
Thank you,
gentlemen. We'll take the matter under advisement and you will be notified of our decision. Marshall, will you please adjourn court?
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.